Okay, committee has come to order. It's 12:45. Clerk will note the roll. Quorum is present. We have one bill on the agenda, Representative Kahn's bill, which we all have promised her a fair hearing on and so forth. Representative Kahn, is this the same bill? Is this an identical bill to the other one that
yes.
was heard? Okay.
Do
you need a, is there an oral amendment that you need to incorporate?
Yes, I believe Mr. Shepard and
Mr. Shepard?
Mr. Roberts has an oral amendment to fix up.
Well, first of all, Representative Kahn moves House Bill number 2511 be recommended to pass and be referred to the committee on Ways and Means, I believe, to start, and we'll see what happens. Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and members, this is an amendment to the appropriation section, and I do have it written down. I'll give it to Mr. Miller. But on page 9, line 1, delete the blank and insert the word there. So it would be there is appropriated. And then on page 9, line 2, after lottery, insert the amount needed. And then page 9, delete lines 9 to 11, so that this would take effect July 1 of 05, and the loan and the payback wouldn't cross biennial lines.
Okay. Representative Kahn moves that amendment. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Amendment's adopted. Representative Kahn on the bill.
Well, Mr. Speaker, many of us have talked about this bill. You have a statement from, you have official fiscal note now from the lottery, and also the statement from the Minnesota State Lottery, which is one line in it that I have to, one word in it that I have to correct, which is the word in the second paragraph, which says that the airport is the second largest lottery retailer. It is now the largest lottery retailer again. Been the largest, it dropped to second for a while, and now it's first. The largest again. You know, again, this is a bill which I've talked about for quite a while. My argument about this bill is that it's not enough to solve the total budget problem of the state, and in fact, I'm very uncomfortable with us using gambling to solve the budget problems of the state. What this does is just give us a chunk of what I would consider to be free money. I consider that this is not in competition with any existing gambling, except perhaps the existing lottery at the airport. It's my idea for this came from looking at the lottery in Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, where you only get in with a boarding pass. The analysis given by the attorney from the state lottery about the amount of gaming machines and the number of machines which will be limited. I imagine, you know, the nice thing about this is that they can start at any level. You can start with, you know, I did notice last time I came through the airport, I did notice there's a new Dairy Queen going in a certain space. So there are spaces that are available at any time. A certain small amount of machines could be put in. One would see how they would go, and one could, you know, one doesn't have. What's nice about this is you don't have to break ground, acquire land, build a huge structure, and put an enormous amount of expense before you know how it goes. You can just do it in little bits and pieces. I know there are some people here today will point out one of the things that the fiscal note I think doesn't tell you is that the Metropolitan Airports Commission is estimated as getting $2.5 million from this. That's from the, and I don't know if that's on top of the lease arrangements, but that's the lottery operators' return is 5.5% from their gross lottery sales.
Yeah, that's
what I, yeah. So somewhere in here there's a $2.5 million that goes to the estimated $2.5 million that goes to the Metropolitan Airports Commission. So, I'll leave myself. I know you don't want to spend a lot of time. I think the fiscal note is pretty easy to read, and I know that we've talked about it at least. We've talked about it a lot, so I'm certainly just. I'll just open to questions instead of going through the bill.
Do we have any questions? We will take testimony.
And I also want to point out that, you know, there's been a statement from Attorney General Hatch about the possibility unconstitutionality of the governor's plan. This avoids what I think is the real unconstitutionality. We're taking off the we're operating it just the way the lottery does. We're taking off the environmental trust fund right from the top. And there are people who see very good uses for that money, for example, in the Clean Water Legacy Bill, which has stopped because of the problems with sources of funding. So we're not designating how the funding gets used in this. I know there are people who have talked about various ways they'd like to see it used, but I think that can be dealt with as we go through the budget process in the state.
Okay, do we have any initial questions from members before we take testimony? Okay, members of the audience that would like to testify, come down, please. Representative Mullery, we'll have you ask a question or whatever.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could Ms. Roberts just explain what is happening here? I don't understand the note. Representative Kahn said there's existing lottery. Are we losing some of that money and gaining something, or... Didn't you say there was existing lottery?
I said the only competition that this would possibly have with anything would be the existing lottery sites in the airport, which actually are not even a competition because this would have to be more restrictive than those sites. That was just a side. The only thing that's in competition with this would be the fact that the lottery at the airport is the largest lottery site for lottery procedures, but this goes to the lottery anyway, so it's just like competition with itself.
Representative Mullery?
Well, I'll ask later.
Ms. Roberts, do you want to do it privately, Representative Mullery, or do you want to
do it if I'm holding it up and everybody
I just wanted Senator Cascaden to rip my head off because of this bill being up. But
yeah, go ahead.
Mr. McCarthy is here to testify. Why don't we have him come down and testify? Ms. McCarthy, come on up.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is John McCarthy. I'm the executive director of the Minnesotan Gaming Association. I have a very brief testimony today. I know you have a lot of other things you want to do, so our association represents gaming tribes in Minnesota, and most of those tribes are located in rural areas of the state. I'm here today to oppose the proposal and all proposals that would expand gambling in any form in Minnesota. These bills establish the groundwork for major gambling expansion in the state. Today it's the airport, tomorrow it's the Mall of America, and next week it's slots in the bars. And while we appreciate the intent, I think, that the author has laid out in this bill, we've never seen a situation in any state in the United States where once they have established gambling and start using it as a major revenue source that they ever go backwards. And so our concern solely on this issue is the opening of the proverbial door. And that is our main position and has been our position. We, again, appreciate Representative Kahn and her intent, but we do believe that this will open a door that cannot be closed. That pretty much is my testimony. I'd be open to questions.
Representative Kahn, did you have any questions for Mr. McCarthy as author? Or, I mean, you're a member of the committee, so...
You know, I think what he said is their legitimate fear. I guess my comment is that he certainly stated that this deal will not come available for anything, and I know I have the support of the chair of this committee.
Well, it certainly
is. Is it more a vehicle issue or the opening the door issue or a little of both?
It's probably a little of both, but primarily it is the opening of the door. I totally believe the committee members and the author in regard to the vehicle issue. Again, our concern is and always has been that once gambling starts to expand off reservation, this form of gambling, that it'll never stop.
Mr. McCarthy, do you see this as any type of a... I mean, I've talked to Representative Kahn at length about this. You don't see this as competition per se. If somebody has a one-hour layover flight that they would go over at the boarding pass, and you know, I have opposed gaming, as you know, this is one that just seems to you know, where Representative Kahn explains it, is you take someone, you dump them over the state treasury for a couple hours, and you send them on their way to Dallas or New York, wherever they're going. You can't bring in anybody else because they don't have a boarding pass to get in. And does that make sense, just as a kind of as a person who's, you know, generally on your side, but this is one that just seems to be awfully tempting to be a piece of the puzzle on getting out of here this year, whether it's June 30th or next week, I don't know.
The Chairman,
what are your thoughts on that?
Chairman Seifert, Representative Kahn, I can only hearken to the Canterbury Park issue. And again, our concern is not necessarily what's being proposed here today. I never hide the fact that competition does enter into it, although in this instance it's somewhat minimal. It isn't what's being proposed today, it's what happens tomorrow. And if we look at Canterbury Park, it started as a racetrack. Now it's a card club and it wants to be a casino. It's the emergence and the change of situations, maybe not today and maybe not next year, but a year from now, a year and a half from now. And there are forces that work out there. As we all know, these issues such as the Mall of America, while we haven't heard a lot about it this year, they haven't gone away. Those are ideal sites. And so it's the morphing of a legitimate, well-intended proposal into something that it never was intended to be, such as Canterbury Park. It never was intended to be a casino. It really never was intended to have a card club. And it does, and the promotion for, and the result of that, step two, the harness track in Forest Lake. So these things are just never ending, and again, it's the opening of the door, and it's where it goes.
Any other questions? Do we have more? Or Representative Hilty?
Mr. Chair, I don't have a question. I'm sorry, I'm trying to think of three or four different things at the same time. I have a question about the fiscal note and about the assumptions on which this is based. Do we have anyone from the lottery here?
Someone here from the lottery today? We have the director, I see. Come on down. If you just introduce yourself for the record so we have it on tape, please, that would be terrific.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Clint Harris, Executive Director of the lottery.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Harris, I think the thing that I find kind of amazing about the fiscal note and the estimates here, and I really hadn't anticipated this. I kept hearing the overall numbers, but the assumption on which this was based is that these machines would pay out twice as much as has been estimated for revenues for the Racino or for the tribal gaming proposal or any other proposal that the lottery has been involved in, and it seems to me that that's kind of odd considering some of the constraints that are mentioned in the narrative with the fiscal note that point out that visits would be shorter. And, you know, casinos, generally, my experience certainly is that they operate 24/7, you know. There's as many people there, or almost as many at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning as at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, that's clearly not the case of the airport. So what would cause you to assume that slots at the airport would generate twice as much revenue per machine as has been estimated for casinos that would be operating under more normal circumstances? And I think that's the experience with the machines in the tribal casinos as well. Mr. McCarthy could possibly enlighten us on that, but it seems to me that this is an incredibly optimistic scenario here.
Mr. Harris, or if you have a helper or you'd like to use a lifeline, we're willing to do that.
Mr. Chairman.
Get one phone call, Mr.
Chairman.
One phone call, one lifeline, and we'll have we'll have your assistant.
Amazing how he appears. Mr. Chairman, Representative Hilty, I'll let Mr. Feeney get into it, but I'll simply comment that this was a difficult fiscal note to put together because there aren't any other airports that we really could look at. And I think, you know, and Mr. Feeney can correct me, but I think he had to fall back on just general economic assumptions, large traffic, small number of machines, very small number of machines, and, you know, by nature, you're going to have more play on those machines given than traffic that's there. So, but with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Feeney.
Mr. Feeney, if you could introduce yourself.
Mr. Chairman, Don Feeney, Research and Planning Director, Minnesota State Lottery. Representative Hilty, I think Mr. Harris touched on it, that my assumption there was because of the very small number of machines, the general rule is the fewer machines you have, the more money you make per machine. Canterbury, yeah, would likely be, or the Tribal Casino would be 24/7 operation. I don't know how those revenues break out for different times of the day. Obviously, this would have very different traffic patterns regardless. But we're talking about 1/8 the number of machines. I think, therefore, it's reasonable to assume that the revenue per machine would be higher. How much higher is not something that I'm giving any sort of scientific credence to at this point. It's simply my best estimate based on my experience in this area. If I were to say that there's a tremendous amount of precision to it, I'd be misleading you.
Representative Mallory?
Mr. Chairman, I had, couldn't find it, and that's why I asked about the fiscal note. To me, it seems like there's certainly going to be some fall off in the lottery revenue. I mean, people don't. If I want to buy a lottery ticket, I don't go out to the. I don't drive to the airport, pay a parking fee and everything to buy a lottery ticket. There's got to be some fall off. It's mostly probably people who are have the ability to use the slot machines.
Mr. Harris, Mr. Feeney?
Feeney? Chairman, Representative Mallory. That is certainly a possibility, and this was prepared on very short notice, and I think you're seeing that reflected here. However, what I would point out is that you would have to have a ticket in order to get into the casino. A lot, we don't know how much, but a very significant portion of the lottery sales at the airport are not to ticketed passengers. They are to employees and to other people visiting. So it would certainly not be a zero-sum game by any means.
Representative Kahn, did you have a statement to that?
I was going to make that statement, but I heard that there are a lot of employees that are
So, Representative Kahn, the way this works is employees would not be able to get into this airport casino, if you will, because they wouldn't have unless they have a boarding pass.
That's the way the bill is written now. I mean, it's specific. You know, it's the nice, Mr. Chairman and members, the nice thing about the airport setup is that you can't get into any of the controlled areas where it would be unless you're either an employee or a passenger. You can't even go to meet people.
In the area where just about all the commerce. This airport itself, other airports aren't. Now, the bill wanted to be amended to allow people who have legitimate business there to
also do it.
So right now, it was just
a sign. Okay, further questions for Mr. Feeney? We have another testimony as well. Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Mr. Feeney, the fiscal note doesn't reflect any cost to the lottery either in establishing this operation to begin with. I can't imagine that there would be none, and also it doesn't reflect any cost to the Metropolitan Airports Commission. We don't know what space would be occupied at what cost or what the involvement in the of the lottery in the initial stages of this would cost. I'm sure you must have considered that.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, Representative Filthy, you're correct. We did give that some thought. The greatest expenses would be for the machines and the central system that controls those machines. Those arrangements are typically done essentially a pay-as-you-go lease, so there would be no upfront expenditures for those items. What that would leave you with are the expenses essentially for converting whatever space there was. We don't know, and there's such a tremendous amount that we don't know at this point on that. What space it would be available, what sort of structural reinforcement you would have to provide to that space to support the weight of the machines. There were just too many things that we could not estimate on those to come up with any kind of reasonable cost. It would be probably, I think, preferable from our point of view to, instead of providing an appropriation in any event, to simply provide for payment of those expenses through the lotteries, the amount that the lottery would be authorized for operations on this over a period of time, and do it as a loan rather than as an appropriation. And I would believe that loan would likely be able to be repaid within the biennium for no net effect.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Feeney, does the lottery have the authority to do that? Wouldn't that have,
Mr. Chairman, Representative,
wouldn't that have to be included in this bill in order to enable that?
You are correct.
Is it included in the bill?
No, it is not. Mr. Chairman, Representative Filthy, no, it is not, and yes, it would need to be.
Representative Kahn, do you have anything to say to that? Or?
So whatever it is, we just do it. And
that's pretty much what it is. Mr. Shepherd, do you want to help us out on that?
Mr. Chair and members, on page 9 of the bill, there is an open appropriation from the general fund to the lottery for whatever expenses they need to get initial operating and capital costs, and then there is a requirement that that money be repaid with interest not later than 3 months after the lottery casinos first open. So it's stated as an appropriation, but in effect it is a loan. I think it's not done exactly the way that Mr. Feeney stated, but the money would have to be paid back very quickly.
Okay. Other questions from members of the lottery folks? We have another testifier. Okay, thank you. If you could just be handy, that'd be helpful. Come on up. If you could introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Rebecca Cardinal, and this is my first time testifying. I'm really nervous, so if I turn into different shades of lobster, bear with me. I'm opposed to this expansion, as I am opposed to all gambling expansion. And I'd like to start by touching briefly on the nature of slot machines. I believe it's important to recognize that slot machine gambling is different from other forms of gambling. And that is evidenced by the operant conditioning studies conducted by Harvard-educated author and former professor at the University of Minnesota, B.F. Skinner. I can see Representative Kahn already knows this. In studies using rats, B.F. Skinner created what has become known as the Skinner box, which is a small box with a lever or pedal that the rat could press and receive a pellet. There are two important things that he discovered while studying the rat's conditioning. He used a fixed interval schedule, which uses a timing device. For instance, if the rat pressed the bar at least once during a particular stretch of time, say every 20 seconds, he would get a pellet. But it didn't matter if he hit the lever 100 times or 20 times, he would only get one pellet in that 20-second period. And what B.F. Skinner discovered was that the rats would tend to pace themselves, slowing down their rate of behavior directly after receiving the pellet, and then speed up when the time for the pellet approached. Secondly, and I think more importantly, he discovered that if he used variable schedules to, say, a pellet were to come down every 20 seconds and then every 5 seconds and then 3 seconds, etc., when the outcome was random, the rats would no longer pace themselves because they can no longer establish a rhythm between behavior and reward. This is the psychology behind why slot machines are so addictive. Whether or not you win or lose, that next win might be in the next pull of the lever or press of the button. I've done a lot of reading on the subject of casino gambling recently, and in doing so, I spent some time reading the information on the Gamblers Anonymous website. As you can imagine, one of the guidelines for recovery is to avoid placing the activity in your path. On Monday, Representative Khan described being trapped for 5 hours in the airport on the day before Thanksgiving, and that there were a number of people there that would have liked anything to do. And I'd like this committee to consider what that same 5 hours would be like for a gambling addict who would essentially be trapped in an airport casino as a captive audience. It's one thing if you go to a destination for the purpose of gambling, and it's another if it's placed in your path. I've also heard the argument that those who travel are in a higher class, and I disagree with that. I have a number of friends and family members, some of whom are living paycheck to paycheck, who travel regularly on business. And I don't feel they should be subjected to slot machines every time they have to travel. I have a bunch of other concerns regarding this legislation. Some of them have been addressed as far as whether or not this would extend beyond the airport, but I don't think that's something that you can legislate forever, that it would never be beyond the airport. And I do have concerns that that certainly could extend at a later date without vigilance. And primarily, I'm opposed to all of the expansion of gambling in our state because I believe that fundamentally it goes against the role of government to engage in this type of activity. I was watching CNN recently, and it was right after the Mall of America expansion proposal came out. You probably saw the conceptual drawings. And it caught my attention that it had made the national news. And one of the commentators was talking about the project, and he said that the proposed name for the Mall of America expansion is Le Palais de Jeux, which is French for the Palace of Games. And the other commentator said, yeah, it's French for they'll pluck you like a chicken. And I couldn't help but think, since when is it the rule of government to pluck its citizens like chickens? We vote, pay our taxes, and perform our civic duty. And I think I can say that since I just got jury duty notice. And in return, we receive services and protections. This legislation places the government in a predatory role where the ultimate goal is to profit from its citizenry. I believe that it's an unhealthy relationship and one that should be carefully considered before moving forward with this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you much. And where are you from?
I'm from White Bear Lake.
All right. Very good. I remember the Skinner Box in Psych 2, Representative Khan.
Right. Well, the Skinner Box is the thing that you used to raise your children in sorry, I heard the pigeons, though, not rats.
More appropriate in this context.
Yeah. Any questions?
I just wanted to ask that I had a huge supply in that New York Times, and that's what I did for 5 hours, is in the New York Times. And I'm not sure my behavior would change if it was a lottery or
Okay, Ms. Cardinal, thank you. We appreciate it. Do we have anyone else that's here to testify for or against this bill? Good afternoon.
Mr. Chairman, members, Mitch Killian with the Metropolitan Airports Commission. Should I start off from my beginning, like Chairman did on the floor today, and tell you that I lived on a dirt road and family of 13, and I have 9 sisters and 3 brothers.
I was going to assure Mr. McCarthy that if this did become a vehicle for something, I am capable of speaking from now until May 23rd.
We're convinced, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Killian, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Thanks for the chance to comment. Just quickly, the Airports Commission Board has not taken a position on this bill. We have seen it the past couple of years, and we are just monitoring it at this time. A couple of points that I would like to just quickly make, though, are that the space to develop at the airport is very expensive to develop. The space, once it is developed, helps to pay the bills at the airport. As you know, we have a lot of debt out there with the current construction and more construction coming on, and it actually pays a lot of the operating costs of the airport, and it pays for things like noise insulation around the airport and many of the programs that you see, including subsidy to the reliever airports. So the revenue that comes out of these spaces is very important to us. We would imagine that a venture like this would probably require some of our prime space. I can't imagine this being down stuck in the A concourse where the commuter airlines are. Someone eventually, when this gets debated, is going to say we want some pretty prime retail space. Our current leases, just about all of them, are not just a square footage charge. What we get is a percentage of gross revenue. So the tenants that make more money at the airport pay more money. Right now in the bill, the only thing that we see is the language that says that the Airports Commission not unreasonably refused to lease space in the terminal building. So we don't have a lot of assurances that there's going to be a great revenue source to us here. I just close by saying that I think Representative Hilke and some of the previous testifiers laid out that there's a lot of work to be done and a lot of details, and we understand that and would monitor this as it moves forward.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you. Do we have anyone else that wants to testify for or against this bill? Discussion on the bill. Representative Kahn, any closing comments?
I would like to put in the bill. Okay. It's not clear that this bill is going to pass, but I would like it to be available as part of the solution. And actually, I would not, if this bill was done, if the whole state budget were going to be based on this bill, I would not be very uncomfortable with it.
Representative Kahn renews her motion that House Bill 2511 be recommended to pass, referred on the to the Committee on Ways and Means. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
Opinion of the chair is the ayes have it. Bill's passed. Title agreed to. Members will have the conference committee meeting at approximately 1:45 in this room, and the meeting's adjourned.